common. All right. Let me rephrase that. Okay. It's not uncommon for you. For a lot of people, it doesn't happen at all. Okay? The people that are sensitive have a tendency to have entities or spirits that bother them because they want to get messages across, or they want someone to pay attention to them, or they just want to give you a bad way. Tried asking the Band of Mercy to remove whatever is messing with you in the name of Jesus Christ?
No.
Why don't you try doing that? All right.
Do
you have the lifting?
No, I mean, my aunt does it. I don't.
No, huh? you need to get the lifting, okay?
Yeah. Pretty simple, Band of Mercy. Sorry about that. I'm sorry. Do you need help?
Help? No, I've got it. Myself. Yeah. Pardon? When you have anxiety a lot, like you do, you've got something attached to you that's creating the anxiety attacks. It also comes with the constant chatter going in your head, and you being worn out, and your mood swings. We'll take care of that tonight.
You'll be better. But I would, I think you need to get a copy of the lifting so that you can start taking care of yourself. Kind of a dichotomy, isn't it?
I feel if I read it, I concentrate more because otherwise, that's just a little bit of a
trend. See, I'm the opposite.
I have to read it because it makes me concentrate on it. So I can walk it.
All right, well, memorize Band of Mercy because in a situation where you can't read it and you've got an emergency, like you're driving. And one has just jumped on to you, and all of a sudden you're going through high anxiety, then you ask the Band of Mercy to remove them now in the name of Jesus Christ, and they'll take care of the rest. Not under those circumstances. They will take care of it. Because more than likely, you'll be really fortunate to remember to say that much. So, know that they're there for you. But you really need to start working with them so that they know who you are and you start building authority with them and reputation with them. And they know you mean business.
So what do you call them?
Any human spirits. But in an emergency, in an abject emergency, you can ask them to remove anything. And they can, in an emergency. Anything. Anything. Until you can get to the place to do what you need to do. Which is like the full. Because I've been in some real bad, tight situations. They took over my husband one time. And he came at me physically. He was going to hurt me. And he had busted the door open in the bathroom. They do a number, let me tell you. So I asked the Band of Mercy to remove anything now in the name of Jesus Christ, and he dropped to the floor and just started crying. No, he didn't know what happened to him. He didn't remember. If you have time to think and you know it's demonic, you can ask for the Archangel Michael to remove whatever in the name of Jesus Christ. And it'll be done. Emergencies. These are emergencies. But you memorize those two. And if you can only remember one, Band of Mercy, because they can do whatever. Which comes in handy. Yes. And I've been in a few of those. Yes. Keys of Enoch. And I worked with him in Egypt. Spiritual knowledge. JJ, my guides told me that I was supposed to read JJ's Keys of Enoch, and I didn't have a clue who he was, and I sure didn't know what the Keys of Enoch were. They just said, you have to read the Keys of Enoch. I went, okay. I was, go, okay. So I'm on a plane. I'm heading to Lakemont, Georgia. And there's a stewardess on the plane, and she comes up to me, and she says, You want the Keys of Enoch, and I was told to give you the Keys of Enoch. You have two of your books. I'll trade you. I said, done. I didn't know this woman from Adam, okay? She hands me the Keys of Enoch. I hand her two of my books.
Did you ever talk further?
Not really. Stewardess. She had it with her. She was prepared.
I wonder if she even remembers.
I don't know. She's got two of my books. But that's the way this stuff happens. So I look at the keys of Enoch and I go, okay. Okay. Put it on the shelf. I tried opening it up and reading it and didn't make any sense to me. Okay, well, about 4 or 5 years later, my guide said, read the keys of Enoch. I open up the keys of Enoch and it makes sense. And then they said, now you need the book about Malkuth. And I said, what? They said, Malkuth. They said, you're going over to a friend's house today for dinner. She will have the book of Malkuth. Oh, I went over to her friend's house. You know, I said, oh, by the way, do you have the book of Malkuth? She says, well, of course, I've got the entire workbook. Okay, what's Malkuth then? It's the first level of the tree of knowledge, of the keys of Enoch, of all of that. The Kabbalah. It's the Kabbalah. And guess who wrote it? J.J. Hertek. So, I'm going, there must be a coincidence here. Oh, no. Okay, synchronicity. Few years later, I end up working in Egypt with the opening of a tunnel which goes to the tail of the Sphinx, which goes into 9 different chambers underneath the Sphinx, and they're leveled. I get full run of the entire Giza plateau. I say, I want that open. I turn the key. I go in. I spend as much time as I want. Guess who's working with me? J.J. Hertek.
Is J.J. a boy or a girl?
Man. I became friends with him and his wife, Desiree. And he's a neat, neat human being. I think he is. Huh? Direct. He worked with the Archangel Metatron, which is the universal archangel. Now, he's a scientist, he's a professor, he is extremely intelligent. He works with a lot of sacred geometry. Yeah, a big part of it, yeah. And the book is fabulous, if you can read it.
Now I want to get it.
Over there on that shelf. And I worked on the Giza Plateau for about 23, 24 days. I was awesome. It was truly awesome. Yeah. I don't know what I experienced. I can only tell you what they experienced around me. No, that was something different. Good, because I can't. I'm not that knowledgeable dealing with sacred geometry. Everything is based in sacred geometry. The entire universe, this planet, us, everything's based in sacred geometry. Yeah. So, I mean, what is the... ratio. The what? Yeah, that, but the other one, the thumbprint of God. What's that called? Yeah, Mandelbrot. Mandelbrot is also sacred geometry. It's into the infinite, tiny, 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 all the way to gigantic and back. Everything's based in sacred geometry. And I went through some of it spiritually, and I recognized that each one had a meaning to it. But it is so hard to explain, and I don't have the scientific background or the knowledge to explain it. All I have is what they gave me spiritually. And unless you were there with me, you wouldn't have a clue. It's the foundation of everything. Yeah.
What did you just say, Carol?
Oh, Mandelbrot. Well, they call it the thumbprint of God. No. It looks like, you know how paisley looks? It's fractals. It's made up of fractals. It's fractals.
That's my story.
And it looks honestly like paisley. I don't think so, but yeah, anybody with a, if you want to Google it, Mandelbrot. It's gorgeous. It's absolutely gorgeous. I had a.
How do you spell it?
Yeah, it does. It spirals and goes in different directions.
Carol, do you know how to spell it?
Mandelbrot.
You got it? Yeah. I can't see it from there. There you go. Kind of.
What's its origin? What's the deal with it?
Science. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And everything. Yes.
Did Mandelbrot figure it out?
It's Mendel. Mendelbrot.
How do you spell it?
Mendelbrot.
Brot.
Mm-hmm. It does.
It's funny where it comes up. Jeff was just mentioning when our oldest grandson was little, on one of the cartoons, they were looking for fractals all the time. That was the thing, and there you go.
Well, they found all nature is based in fractals. Trees are based in fractals. Bushes, plants, everything is based in fractals. It's made up of fractals. Yeah. In essence, yes. Yeah. Hang on a second, guys. The very first time that I went to Egypt, I was so shut down, I was not allowed to feel anything. I felt nothing. I got really, really upset. And I asked my guides, why can't I feel? And I felt nothing. I felt just completely shut down. And they said, you can't do it right now. It will overwhelm you. So on the third day, I went, I've got to come out of this. I can't do anything. I feel like I'm in total burnout. I couldn't pick up anything, nothing. And I couldn't do the work there without, you know, being psychically at least open, and I wasn't. So I went for a walk. I thought maybe if I go for a walk, And one of the guides there said, go for a walk. Maybe it'll open you back up. And I went, okay. So I went for a walk. And I'm walking through these two very, very tall, I don't know what they were called, not a cliff, but kind of like two cliffs. And all of a sudden this spirit appeared before me. And he was Egyptian. And he had a skull cap and burnished gold, or gold skull cap on, really tight. And he had a robe on. And he had this white thing down here. And it looked like it had olive leaves on it. And the robe was real tiny, checkered brown and gold. Probably about that big. The whole robe was made of that. And his face was very, very, very brown, very sunk in, high cheekbones, dark, dark eyes. And he said, Carol Pei. And I went, yes. And he said, come with me. I went, okay. Now, there's lots of people roaming around, okay? There's tourists and stuff roaming around. And all of a sudden, there wasn't anybody roaming around. And he took me to this area, and there was a sun disk with wings. And it was etched into an area that had sort of four pillars, okay? I have a picture of it. And he said, see? And I said, yes. I said, that's a flying disc. And I said to him, I said, is it a flying disc from the stars? And he said, yes. And I said, does that mean that flying discs or discs came here from the stars? Yes. And I went, okay. And I said, does that mean that people came from those flying discs that came from the stars? And he said, yes. And I said, are you a priest? And he said, yes. And he pointed like that, and there was an area that was kind of open under the ground. And he said, this was my temple. And he said, there was a time when the people overturned the pharaohs and the priests. And the priests had taken all of the statues that were gold and hidden them away. And he said, we took statues made out of wood and covered them with gold sheets. And he said, that's where they're buried. I did not tell Fawaz. No.
So they're still there?
Yes. And he said, tomorrow you go down there, you will be given more information. And then all of a sudden these people came from nowhere and he was gone. I didn't ask. Yeah, there was a little problem. Boris Said, who was the director we were filming there on the plateau, they were talking about opening up the chamber that leads to the tail of the Sphinx and to the chambers within the Sphinx. Boris had told me that he had brought some other people and to the same location that the priest had brought me. And he said, a strange thing occurred. He said, there was a winged disc that was etched. The winged disc, yeah. And he said, let's go by, because I told him about what took place. He said, let's go by tomorrow. And we went back there the next day, and the winged disc was not there. It was etched into the wall. So I told Boris that I had to go underneath. And he goes, Carol, it's not a good idea. There are cobras and there are scorpions. And he said, that's an area that you probably shouldn't go into. And I said, well, he told me to go down there, so I'm going to go down there. Do you want to go with me? He did. He went down there with
me. What? Let me guess. No cobras, no scorpions.
Nah. But there was, and I told him, I did tell him about the gold. And there was hieroglyphics on the walls underneath there. And I was given some information for dealing with the pyramid. That's what I can't tell you. Yes. I can't sit here and tell you that I know for sure how the pyramids were made. I don't think so. One never knows. I can tell you that the pyramid text in Egypt, there was writings and there was also some scrolls, some papyrus that were found that did get into the fact that there was alien assistance, that there was aliens that helped to develop the civilization that we now know as Egypt. The government did not want that knowledge put out there, and I'm going to tell you why. It wasn't because of the alien impact. It was because they wanted the people to believe that Egypt had always been the high civilization that they appeared to be. Also, that Egypt, they wanted Egypt to they wanted people to believe that the civilization of Egypt was only 6,000 years old because of Muslim belief systems, just like the Bible. No.
What about in Mexico? Yeah, like is that the same period of time?
No.
Same kind of orientation.
There is a similarity between all of the pyramids. A lot of those places were there before the Incans and the Aztecs and the Mayans ever got there. Okay?
There's something I've read
Yes, they do too. Iron doesn't work well, though. Steel works better. Yeah. Well, no, that they turn very hard and can break easy in ice cold water. Okay.
they are all interlinked. Where was the one we went to first, on the first trip to Mexico? No, the other one. Palenque. Palenque, when the Mayans found Palenque, Palenque was already intact. It was already a city that had been, left. They had left it. Oh, the Mayans did too, but they found it that way. They didn't build that. Could be various reasons. You had problems with weather. You had problems with diseases. I mean, there's all sorts of. I'm not getting into that part of it because I don't know. I wasn't there, and I don't do assumptions very well. But you have to recognize that a lot of these places were there long before the Indians. So we don't know for sure who built those places.
And the more you travel, the more you can learn.
Yes, you do.
All over the world, no matter where you go.
Yes, you do.
Hello.
Well, I was just thinking about all the different places, like,
oh, the triangle. Those are vortexes. Those are natural vortexes that are natural to this planet, and they're around the world. And they're spaced about 130 degrees from each other. No.
I'm talking about when you go and see ruins and things, you'll see the similarities.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And we're going way over time.
Yeah, we're not going to have time to do that.
Sorry.
Is it already?
Yes, yes. Okay. Thank you. Oh boy, that's for sure. Okay. Now. Workshop. Going to be scheduled the 26th of October. It will start at 11 and it will go to somewhere around 5:30. $150, ESP and the paranormal. You're going to get into all aspects of it. And you're going to be doing stuff if you want to participate. Here. I haven't got a date set on that one yet. But it will be probably November. I mean, it's not going to be very far out. So, and tomorrow I'm speaking at MacArthur Park. If you're interested, and it'll be a lot of fun, 3 p.m., but I think it starts somewhere around 10 a.m. in that morning. It's at the museum, MacArthur.
Have you planned it out lately?
Yeah. No, I really haven't, but...
I thought you said that should be interesting.
I did, but it was a while back.
Will they come back?
No, they can get new ones. I don't think so.
What are you going to speak about?
Whatever anyone wants to talk about.
Is someone starting at Tink Girl?
I don't know.
Are they just having a day of things?
Yeah, they're having a whole day of things. Is it 9? Okay. Who are the speakers? Do you know? Okay. Yeah, paranormal. Is it $5? $5. It doesn't like me.
It's time for you to stop at the time.
Yeah, on the workshop, absolutely.
Tell everybody about the website.
You tell them, Al. I'm not that good. You have to let Carol know. You have to do it no later than 2 weeks prior to the workshop. Now, if I don't have enough people, if I don't have 10 people or more, I will cancel the workshop. I'm not doing it for 10 or less. Okay? I love you all, but my Saturdays are like liquid gold to me. And I won't do it unless I really feel it's valuable.
And it's the Sunday? No, Saturday.
Saturday. 26th. And then I'll be doing ESP, I'll be doing a healing workshop. I think we're going to be looking at maybe 2 weeks right after that. I've been wanting to do some workshops, but my husband's been so ill that I can't do caretaking for my work and then do the workshops on the weekend. I couldn't leave him alone that long. So. But now he's getting much, much better. So. Yay.
Are you having giants?
Yeah.
Much?
Much, yes. It's been like being up most of the day, walking. It got much better after a little talk. And adjustment, yes. Sometimes you've got to do this. I love him dearly, but he's trying to die on me. I can't let him do that. Yeah. I don't have time for that. He doesn't have time for that. Tell them that I don't have a clue.
Carol can't touch
it. So who does the Facebook? Like if you post on the Facebook page, I'm tired. I'm sorry. I know Facebook. When you post on her, do all your friends see what you're saying?
Yes.
And that's
there is
word.
A personal part of that. You can't, like a membership.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Not
well,
a,
I
like
it.
Group.
I won't be. You're not going to say that I'm good? Or?
Oh, I would say that. But
something?
So many people.
I don't care what
you
they don't like what I'm doing.
Since I kill computers, I really don't get on computers, so
thing for me to work with it so I wouldn't blow it up. It's a, yeah.
What did you call it?
Yeah. See, I'm all about electromagnetic energy. That's what kills tapes and blows computers and
some of the
nice entire library. Don't ask me. I'm the last person in the world you need to be asking. Don't carry it on your person, number one. Don't put it on your body.
That's where you're making a huge mistake. I can carry it in my car. I can carry it in my purse. I can't put it on my body. I kill it. Too. A lot of people do that have psychic abilities.
They kill cell phones, watches, you know, globe
light bulbs.
It's just common.
Just, yeah, you know about the light bulbs.
There you go. Ruby. Never had that happen.
I'm sorry. I'll see what I can do about that. Okay, let's make circles.